We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Let's talk Michigan football. Welcome to this week's edition of the Inside Michigan Football Radio Show. Over the next hour, we're discussing the latest around Wolverines football and hearing from players and coaches. Now, here's your host, John Jansen.
Welcome back to our final edition this year of Inside Michigan Football. It is hard to believe, but it's been a great ride. 12 opportunities. Michigan has taken advantage of each and every one, whether it's at home, on the road, and none more important than the big win down in Columbus. If you were there, you know what we're talking about. It was a ruckus environment to start the game off, and then by the end of the game, the stadium felt like it was empty. It was a 45-23 win for Michigan. Huge second half by the defense, only allowing 3 points for a very explosive Ohio State offense. We know that Donovan Edwards went off in the fourth quarter with runs of 75 and 85 yards. Cornelius Johnson, big time plays of 69 yards and 75 yards. A touchdown by Colson Loveland of 45 yards. We could go on and on about stats, but all that really matters is Michigan is 12-0. We're going to get a chance to talk to head coach Jim Harbaugh about this football season and a look ahead quick to the matchup with Purdue in the Big Ten championship game. And we're going to also be joined by Ben Herbert, Michigan strength and conditioning coach. Jim Harbaugh references him frequently as their secret weapon. And then at the end, Captain Mazi Smith talking about his senior year and what that victory in Columbus meant, but also being able to turn the page and look ahead to the trip to Indy, a chance for back-to-back Big Ten titles. We'll get to all of that coming up next on Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football, and as we are every week, joined by head coach Jim Harbaugh, and obviously this is a very nice one to be able to have because it's an extra show. We've got the Big Ten championship game coming up, but 12-0. How does it feel to be sitting there as a 12-0 coach?
Feels great, right where we want to be. So much appreciation for everybody in the program, players, coaches, staff, fans, family, everybody. It's a wonderful feeling. Great thrill of victory. Wonderful feeling of winning.
We heard you describe in so many different ways, and in some words, the feeling inside the locker room. But now that you've had a chance for that feeling to soak in a little bit more, what was it like in the locker room in Columbus?
Oh, great. Is you know, just as great as you can imagine. It was really happy. It was a super happy flight home. And it was spiritual. Guys were giving thanks, you know, to and gratitude to God. It was on so many levels, just really, really, really awesome.
Let's talk about some of those individual performances, because there were so many great performances. But let's start with your quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. Going into that game, there was, you know, you were getting questions. We were all getting questions about, was the passing game going to be able to be effective enough? And it was, obviously. But when he hit CJ on that very first touchdown run, yeah, what was it like on the sidelines? And when you called it, I mean, obviously he's trying to pick up a first down, but they're in man coverage. As soon as he breaks the tackle, there's no one there.
So free blitzer. You know, we had had them all blocked but one, and that was the one we couldn't block. JJ hung in to the very last second, and took the hit in exchange for the touchdown. Hit Cornelius, you know, right on the chest, and then what a job he did of breaking that tackle, kicking out of it. And then he made a second effort to get the feet, and then you look up and there's nothing there. He's gone, because that extra guy was, that would have been back there, was the one hitting JJ. That really got us going. And of course CJ kept us going, as well as JJ and so many other guys.
Did you see confidence growing in JJ as the game continued to go on, confidence growing in the offense as the game continued to go on?
No, I didn't see it growing. I mean, guys were, I mean, from early on, I mean, Carson Barnhouse said, "Coach, we're going to win this game." And then came off after a PAT early in the game. I think we were still behind. He was like, "We're going to win this game, Coach." I think it was, the confident level was high. Our guys were focused. They were determined. You know, they felt like they had put in the hard work, that they had paid the price, and they were going to trust their training, and they were going to go out there and you know, just give it their very best. I'm going to do my best today, and that should be good enough. And but then to see guys, I mean, seize the moment. I mean, they talk about seizing the moment or seizing the day, you know, not rejecting the moment. I mean, our guys did that. And some played the best game of their life.
When you look and you start talking about guys playing the best of their life, and we had talked about this earlier in the day, but moments like Mikey Sammer still in the end zone. I want to talk about him for a second. When you go back and think about that decision to move him from wide receiver to cornerback and being the nickel, the impact that he has had on this defense, whether it's putting pressure on quarterbacks, covering receivers, breaking up passes in the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think how, you know, why didn't I make this decision earlier for Mikey?
Total team guy.
Yeah.
As
a senior.
As an incredible team leader, why he was voted captain, do anything for the team. Replacing Dax Hill, who's a first rounder, John, if you recall.
And, oh, yeah.
And remember how Dax was all over the field as the nickelback. So when it came to this offseason, we're going to have a guy to replace Dax Hill, because he meant so much to our team. So, you know, looking around and go, Mikey's got the talent to do that. And he's got the team attitude to do that. And he's really smart and super willing. So, yeah, that was the timing of that decision. Was because we had to have somebody to replace Dax Hill. Now, he's done that. He's all over the field, you know, played the best game of his life. Two PBUs he had in this game were touchdown-saving PBUs. And that came from a guy who was, like, contributed a lot as a receiver, you know, in the days when we needed a guy to be, you know, catch the ball and score touchdowns for us. But can't say enough about him. Another guy was all over the field, Rod Moore. All over the field. Three tackles, three assists, a PBU, a TFL, two PBUs, and a TFL. Great discipline play when he got head-butted to not, you know, not lose his stuff. Mozzie Smith had the best game of his life, played the most plays he's ever played, 61 plays, four tackles, got the most pass rush, affected the quarterback, you know, more than anybody did in the game. So a ton of guys that, you know, just played unbelievable, great football. Jalen Harrell, the fourth down, you know, he keeps his discipline, keeps his man eyes on his man that he's covering, not looking into the backfield, created the tight coverage, and we were able to get the stop on fourth. You know, so many could keep going. JJ, I loved his run for a touchdown. I mean, even running ahead of his blockers, mm-hmm. you don't teach that. But, you know, another guy that'll do anything for the team. On and on, hero of locker room. Hero, a whole locker room of heroes.
And, you know, we talk about or trying to figure out what the best play of the game was, and there were so many guys, like you mentioned, there's so many heroes in that game. You already mentioned Jalen Harrell and his fourth down coverage of their tight end, but Braden McGregor. Big pass breakup, third and three.
Yeah, I'll give a couple more. Mike Barrett, 11 tackles, and you pretty much just stopped there. He was all over the field. Braden McGregor, he's the next guy. He's the guy that's on the verge of stardom. You know, he's had some adversity. I thought you know, the pass rush he was given, you know, a lot of strength, was putting up pressure. Making the stop on third and three, just knocking down a pass that was thrown on the perimeter. You don't see that a lot. I mean, that takes some incredible reaction. But he's just been so steady, hasn't flinched, hasn't blinked, just completely stays the course. It's just reminds me so much of those who stay will be champions that's on prominently in our building in a lot of places. I mean, making that come to life.
And there's another one that I loved your description of, but Taylor Upshaw has a sack. Taylor Upshaw has an interception, but there's a guy that had a special effort that caused that interception in Rayshon Benny. What'd you see from him, especially on that play?
Well, we're making arguments for what plays of the game are, as I was telling you. I mean, that right up there is a huge play in the game. Taylor Upshaw gets the interception, but it was Rayshon Benny that was on the pass rush. He had contain. C.J. Stroud, the quarterback, stepped up, was moving. He got a run or throw option, and Rayshon retraced, made the tackle, was bringing C.J. down, and then kind of torqued him a little bit as C.J. decided to, you know, shovel the ball to the receiver. Went offline by a couple feet, tipped right into to Taylor Upshaw. I mean, that stopped a potential game-tying drive mm-hmm. right there. And then the next play, Dono goes 85. Just awesome.
I want to talk to you about the offensive line and Donovan Edwards as well in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. Tonight's show is brought to you by Meijer, presenting sponsor of the 2022 Michigan football season and proud supporter of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. This is Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. Once again, joined by head coach Jim Harbaugh. And you're defending Big Ten champs, going to Indianapolis. How do you guys turn the page and say, hey, this was a great win, this was a great 12 weeks, but business is not finished yet?
First rule of champions. It's not even a principle. It's first rule of champions. Do not let up. So there's a risk, but you gotta follow that rule number one.
And this is award season. We're gonna start to hear different guys get different awards. Finalists come out. One of the finalists for the Joe Moore Award is Michigan's offensive line. They are also the defending Joe Moore Award winners, the performance by then, you mentioned this after the game, that they just wore out the defense and the defensive line. All of a sudden, those runs become big. And we saw 75 from Donovan. We saw 85 from Donovan. What did you see throughout the course of that game from your offensive line?
Well, it started with Olatemi. I even heard the broadcasters calling him the best center in all of college football. I think he sure is, in my opinion. He had a tremendous, tremendous game. Touchdown blocks, super good. Ryan Hayes had a tremendous game. Keegan was just – one time I saw him out there playing the air guitar when they had some some heavy metal music.
That sounds exactly so like Keegs, him, too.
So Keegs. Zinner, another great game. And Carson Barnhart, just tremendous. Talked about him and the confidence that he had. And he blocked really, really well. The guys did incredible up front. The tight ends – as selfless as group is on our team. Schoonmaker was fabulous. Honingford, Seltzer, and the kid Colson, just great. Tremendous blocking. Receivers, as they always do, selflessly, blocking and on the perimeter and in the box whenever they get a chance.
And I know you, Donovan Edwards is one of your favorite players. When you watched him go for 75 and 85, I mean, how did it look from your perspective? And how did that make you feel watching Donovan have that success in the fourth quarter? And your whole offense, but Donovan.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. I mean, the run game can wear on a team, especially in the second half. What I saw was, there were crowd in the box. I mean, it was like the zero coverage, everybody up, every gap filled. Our line gets a crease, a big one, and Dono got through it. And like with Dono, as soon as he gets behind the defense, and in that case, he was probably behind him at like about 6 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know it's over. Nobody is catching him. That's the beauty of Donovan Edwards. He's just so fast. And determined to score. It's great. My favorite line of the week in the press conference afterwards. This is so Donovan. It's so genuine. Mr. Edwards, tell us about your long run. He goes, which one? That great deep voice that he has.
So Donovan.
Yeah. It's so second innocent. Favorite was JJ. Yeah. You know when he said this is nice and this is all right. But there's more work to be done.
And let's talk a little bit about the secondary and the defense, because they had a very talented offense. Quarterback that everybody's talking about, high draft pick, talented running backs, offensive line that was big and strong, and a very dangerous wide receiving core. Yet in the second half, adjustments were made, or I don't know what was different, but only allowed 3 points in the second half. Just talk about the success of this defense.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I mean, every stop was like gold. Not a team that punts very much. And anytime we got a stop, we wanted to secure it. Any top opportunity we had at a stop, we wanted to capitalize on it. Didn't want any offsides penalties. We didn't want any personal fouls. Didn't want any offsides on the punt return unit. I mean, if we got a stop, we needed to keep it. Coverage-wise, Will Johnson was really good. I mean, he played a ton of plays. So good, in fact, I think they started moving Marvin Harrison Jr. away from Will. I don't know that for sure, but early we missed some tackles and we were taking some bad angles. We got that fixed. You know, we got that rectified. And from there, pretty much, I mean, did a great job of maybe locking them down. It's too strong of a word. Probably is, but – really did a great job, you know, controlling things from there. As I said, Michael Barrett, 11 tackles. Mozzie Smith played the game of his life. Rayshon, McGregor, Yabby, Upshaw, Rob Moore, on and on, you know, yeah. DJ and the guys. I mean, just really, really good.
And the guy that's calling the defense, Jesse Minter, one of the guys calling the defense, Jesse Minter, was just this afternoon named as a finalist for the Broyles Award. How important is it? How big is it for the program to have him be a finalist for that award?
Oh, it's great. I mean, we're all about it. We're all about the awards. You know, try to win awards. Mm-hmm. You know, get good grades, excel at sports, and win awards. And we're super happy for anybody else's success. Always happy for the other guys' success. Ton of guys on our staff deserve that. Ben Herbert, Jay Harbaugh, Sharon Moore, Steve Klinkscale, Matt Weiss, Ron Bellamy. I mean, there's so many guys. Mike Elston.
Yeah.
The job that Mike Elston has done in the staff. Klink, you know, great a dramatic turnaround in our secondary and in the passing game defense. But Jesse's the one that the Broyles picked, and now he's a finalist in the top five, gets to go to the banquet, and yeah, we'll be praying and pulling hard that he wins it.
Ben Herbert's going to join me in the next segment, and you had mentioned last week that you had nominated him as one of the coaches for the awards, but it had to be a position coach. What has he meant to this team, to this program, and to you?
He is the program, my and the players' X factor. He's the X factor of this Michigan football program. The center of player development, and somebody that it's like he's got a big syringe of positivity that he's just always given guys and players and anybody that he comes in contact, he is affecting in a positive manner. And he's the best at what he does. He's the only strength coach I've ever been around that is the perfect blend of old school, what I think of as an old school, you know, strength coach, and cutting edge on every scientific nutrition, hydration, sleep study, GPS, technology.
He puts
all melded into one.
Yeah. And before we let you go, I do want to ask about Purdue. And what is it when you look at Purdue on film that you're going to have to address? What do they bring? What does Jeff Brohm as a head coach bring to this championship matchup?
Well, first of all, it's a team that's playing for the championship. I mean, that invigorates a team. That I mean, there is hope. Just win this game, and all the work you've done, all the sweat, blood, enthusiasm, everything that's gone into it. I mean, you're 60 minutes away from, you know, being crowned champion. There's no better accolade than, you know, than being a champion. We know how that felt last year. Nobody expected us to be there, and then we were there. That gave us a tremendous boost in that situation. And I know they're feeling the same. That makes them dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes us dangerous because it's invigorating us as well. So, two dangerous teams going to be going at it. A tremendous passing game. And they've incorporated the run. I mean, they've gotten good at that. I mean, it's been a huge part of their success. You know, thirdly, I would say I've been watching them. We haven't played them since 2017, but you know, we watch them either on TV or we watch them in the film exchange. They've been a lot of really good teams, a lot of really good football teams. You know, in the Jeff Brohm era, you know, and we've seen them all, we watched them all, and we know we got to get really prepared. Maybe be a big task for us, and you know, get ready.
Well, Coach, thanks for your time, and best of luck in Indianapolis.
Thank you.
We'll be back with Ben Herbert, Michigan strength and conditioning coach, in just a moment. This is Inside Michigan Football from Learfield.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football, joined by one of my absolute favorite members of this staff, Ben Herbert, strength and conditioning coach. And first of all, Ben, thanks for joining me. Second of all, Coach Harbaugh always talks about how you are the key to this program and your influence on the guys, the influence on the coaching staff. How important is, let's just start with this, the weight room and the conditioning aspect of what you do, because there's a lot of aspects.
You know, I think, John, the cool thing for me is the experience you have here at Michigan, what Mike Gittleson did for this program, how he impacted so many guys, the tone that he set strikes a chord with you. And guys that I've gotten to know over my time, my 5 years here, those stories and the things that are important, the foundational aspects that are important for this program to win championships, to beat Ohio State, to where it starts. And we take a lot of pride in how we conduct our business, and we welcome that burden. I wouldn't want it any other way.
How different is this team? Because, like you mentioned, what Mike Gittleson did, what you guys do in the weight room, galvanizes a team, because there's a shared struggle. There's shared misery. But it's something that you wouldn't do by yourself. You're only doing it because your teammates are doing it, because somebody, the coaching staff, the strength and conditioning staff, is pushing you. How different is this team now as a team than it was, let's go back to last January?
I think the cool thing that this team has done is they've carried the momentum that Team 142 established. And when we started in January, they understood there's a small gap that needs to be closed for us to win a national championship, which is one of our four goals. They understand what that looks like. Even though it may appear to be small, there were many things that we needed to do and that we needed to do better. And fortunately, they understood that. And when we started that journey in January, 6 days a week, from then until now, some of that time, has to be voluntary, which is fine. But that, even that word, how our guys interpreted voluntary, 6 days a week, week after week after week, the sacrifice and the commitment mentally and physically that entails, especially in the summer months, is significant, right? There's a price that has to be paid. That sacrifice, leads to, you want to talk about when everyone's sacrificing time away from friends, family, potential weekend vacations, all these different things. That's a significant thing. And that's myself and my staff, and that's every guy that comes in to train on that day is making that same sacrifice and that same commitment to excellence and to what Michigan football, to me, deserves.
We talked last year about Aiden Hutchinson, and you shared his example about how he came in and said, hey, I want to be wrung out of everything I possibly have. And you mentioned that standard moving forward. And they're creating that momentum last year. This team has picked it up. Who were some of the guys that have stepped into that weight room as upperclassmen and said, hey, I want to do that same thing. I want to set that standard for this team, one team, 143.
I think the best thing about this team, and as I reflect back to teams that I've seen be successful over time, is our best players are those guys. You look at guys like Blake Corum, J.J. McCarthy. We could go down the line. You know, even a new guy coming in that was willing Olu and how he conducted his business. That literally, who are the best players on Michigan football? And that's the answer to your question. Is your best players a continuation of Hutch, because that's what he was, a great player, a great worker that was always looking to do more, right? Do it intelligently, but to do more, to do it better. And it's that tone was set, and this team has carried it forward and continued to just build upon that mentality.
You and I have both seen guys that are weight room warriors, and then they get on the field and you're wondering what happened. At the beginning of the year, there's this list that comes out, the freak list. And a lot of those guys on that list are just that. They're weight room warriors. They have freakish abilities and freakish talents. Mozzie Smith was number one this year. How do you train those guys so that it's not just the freakish abilities in the weight room, but it translates to what they're doing on the football field?
I think the key for me, first and foremost, is I'm a football guy. Strength and conditioning for football. I don't ever let that get lost. Everything that we do is designed to carry it over to the game so you can be a more impactful player, right? So you can reap the reward of that. And then ultimately our team, Michigan football, can reap the reward of that. One of my greatest frustrations is guys that love to train and they don't love football, or they lack aggressiveness when it comes time to put the pads on and go do what it is you're supposed to do as a player. And the key for those guys, I always want to set the table. So we have guys that have those traits. It's my job to continue to develop those traits, but also to capture, right? There are things that are done that if we didn't capture it, no one would believe it. And so when Dave, you know, asks me each year about guys that have certain potential, I just send him a variety of video, photo, you know, things just to package it so people can make their own decision. We develop those traits, we capture them, and then, you know, it's just a reflection of the time and energy that those guys put in on a daily basis, and ultimately Bruce Feldman makes that list each year.
I want to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about Coach's description of the mix of old school and new school and what that means in the weight room. We'll be back in just a moment with head strength and conditioning coach Ben Herbert. This is Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. Welcome back, and we're talking to Ben Herbert, Michigan strength and conditioning coach, and coach has described what you do in the weight room as the perfect balance of old school, you know, melded with a lot of new technologies, a lot of new techniques, nutrition, sleep, all of that stuff. How do you walk that fine line of, hey, there's this new technology, not getting lost into the bells and whistles, but being able to implement that into you got to put the work in. It's got to be hard work that ultimately gets it done.
You know, one of the greatest questions I ever got in recruiting, recruit's mom, she was dead serious. And she had her husband and the boys, you know, she's had multiple boys play at college and the NFL level. And you could just tell she had the it factor that a mom has. And she said, Coach, are you old school? Or are you new school? Uh-huh. Kind of with quotes she made with her hands. I said, well, how's this? I consider myself the ideal blend of both. And then I continued to just describe to her, all I know, the last 25 years of my life have been spent in college football, in a college football training environment, right? So there are things that have proven over time to be tried and true. The mentality and how guys, you know, the aggressiveness that it takes when you train, you know, to train and to strain at a high level, your willingness to grind, the consistency, all of these things are very important. And that's been the case forever, in my opinion, at least for the 25 years that I've known, you know, major college football. Each and every year, there are technologies being developed to assist myself as a strength and conditioning professional to better equip our guys with capabilities. So it's my job to figure out what is fluff. You know, what has value,
yeah,
and what doesn't. And that's, to me, what has value to me, because that can mean something different to 20 different strength and conditioning coaches. But it's my job to find these new technologies or newer technologies, figure out if it can impact our program in a positive way, then make the decision that yes, it can once it's been vetted, and then we incorporate it and we then reap the reward of it. What happens is, if something is cute, it may look amazing. If you don't vet it thoroughly, you want to be on the cutting edge, so to speak. You want to gain attention for being on the cutting edge. You incorporate something so that somebody sees it and says, hey, you're a cutting edge guy, but are you really using it to provide value? Is it providing value? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We just simply want to make sure that we incorporate things that can help our program and help our guys be better. And a great example of that is, one of my favorite questions is, how much do you squat? People will tell me in 1 second, coach, I squat 650, 400, 300. How strong are your hips in ab and adduction? How strong is your neck in flexion and extension? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never evaluated it. Well, let me introduce you to the force frame. This is how we quantify how strong a guy's hips are, because there's no negative to a strong, stable hip. So that's just one example. Vet the technology. If you decide it has value, then incorporate it so that Michigan football and all of our guys can reap the reward of the different things that are out there that can benefit us.
You mentioned neck strength, and I think everybody looks at football players and they're like, my God, their necks are huge, right? And there's obviously, there's common sense says you've got to have a strong neck, but, and I was talking to Mike Gittleson about this, I know you've had conversations with a number of people about this, but the importance of neck strength in preventing head injuries. How much time do you spend working on a guy's neck strength simply because you know how much it helps prevent injury?
It's a major factor in what we do from a programming standpoint, because when you improve the strength of the neck, really the traps, it plays a significant role, in my opinion, of protecting the head. No different than how we train the four rotator cuff muscles to protect the shoulder, or how we train the hip, how we train the ankle, right? Different things that we do, the neck being one of those most significant areas to address. So it's same thing. How strong is a guy's neck? We have the ability to put a numerical representation on that. He's 257, which is an F, or he's 870, which is an A+. And then there's a grading system, A+, A, B+, B, C, D, F. We know exactly where a guy falls. Most importantly, he knows. So when it's time to train the neck, he views it as a significant priority, right? He prioritizes it. And then we could quantifiably track it as he invests time and energy. He grows and develops in that area, and we capture it along the way. But when you have that quantifiable number, combined with how much you emphasize it, it gives you the best of both worlds.
Coach, I appreciate it. I know you're a busy man, and we're going to get you off, but look forward to seeing your team, part of this team, go out there and get another Big Ten championship.
John, I appreciate it.
We'll be back with Mozzie Smith, captain of this Michigan defense, when we return. This is Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football, now joined by one of the captains, this Michigan football team. I love saying that. It's Mozzie Smith. Mozzie, hey, thanks for joining me. And what's it feel like being 12-0?
This is a beautiful journey, man. It's a blessing. make you excited to get up and come in and work hard every day.
So when you woke up on Sunday morning, had it completely sunk in that not only was it you 12-0, but it was a win in Columbus? What was that feeling like?
Well, I mean, so far we don't know nothing else, you know what I'm saying? Since I done started, all I know is beating Ohio State, so we straight, you know?
What going to Columbus, because it'd been 2 decades since Michigan had won down there, what was the conversation like between you and your teammates?
do what we do. We are who we are. That's all we need to be. We talk a lot about no moment is too big. Don't ever make a moment too big. We tell that to the freshmen. We tell that to each other. We tell that to everybody. Like, just go out there and be you.
You played more snaps on Saturday, coach had said, than you'd ever played in a game before.
Yeah.
What'd it feel like after the game?
Man, I was ready to go home, lay down, man. I was hurting, but 61 snaps, you know, that's for a nose, got my size. That's where I want to be at. That's where I always saw myself at. You know, I want to be the type of player that the team can rely on to do something like that, you know.
What was the difference coming out of half? Because you guys, and everybody wants to figure out all season long, you guys have had good first halves, but in the second half, it's been dominant. What's been the change from first half to second half?
I mean, the mentality really is just, we come in here and you're going to have to beat us for four quarters. You know, there ain't a lot of teams out there that could do that. I think we proved that.
When you look across the line, especially in a game like Penn State, a game like Ohio State, you're going against guys that you're going to see on Sunday. How important is it for you to be able to show up against those guys?
Well, I mean, it ain't necessarily something that you think about. Me personally, I just know it just made me happy. Like, I ain't happy playing guys that, you know, ain't all a lot. Like, I want to play the best of the best. That's why I came to this type of school to be involved in this type of competition.
What was it like at the start of the game when you looked up and you saw nothing but red? And you're hearing them and you get boos coming out of the locker room. I mean, what was that moment like?
Yeah, put a smile on my face.
Okay, now yeah. I want to ask you that compared to at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And all you see, you still see a lot of red, but it's just a bunch of empty seats.
Yeah. I came in there with a smile. I got off the bus with a smile. They started booing. I was like, yeah, this is who the, I love hostile environments. Bring it on. I love the hostility, man. Please.
When it was in the fourth quarter, what was the chatter on the sidelines? You guys are up, and then Donovan rips off a 75-yarder. You go up a little bit more. How important was it to stay focused and make sure you guys finished the job?
A lot of game left. That's what everybody kept saying, a lot of game left. We ain't done yet. We got to keep pushing. Earlier in that half or earlier in the game, I told the D-line real quick, I was like, you know, it's on us. It ain't on no OLBs, no DBs, no safeties. That's just the mentality. Everybody playing their best ball, everybody putting the team on their back, then we can't lose, you know what I'm saying? And so in that fourth quarter, we just realized, okay, it's really time to put them away.
Mason Graham, young fella next to you, got a lot of snaps as well. How have you helped him or tried to help him along the way with your experience, your leadership, and then just to watch him go in a game like that?
With Mason, man, he came in kind of prepackaged up, ready to go. You know, like I remember in recruiting, you know, you see some guys that was ready to go off the rip. You see how they get in their stance. You see how they learn plays and executed it. And even looking at formations, Mason does all of that fantastic. And so when he came in, it was just more about kind of giving him the lane to grow and have an impact on the people around him in his own way. You know, I think, you know, we call it the flock, you know what I'm saying, the D-line. I think we all came together and we all support each other in one way, you know, and you can say I'm the leader so far, so forth, but I got predecessors too. You know, everybody know we trying to turn this place into D-line U. I done said it before, and that's what it take. It take big performances from freshmen early to get that experience under their belt. You don't win championships without quality defensive lines.
So I want to rewind the clock 1 year, because in your seat last year was sitting Aiden Hutchinson after beating Ohio State in the Big House, and now you guys are back from Columbus. Big emotional victory.
Mm-hmm.
as the captain of this team, how do you lead today on Monday and then throughout the course of this week?
You just stop talking about it. It's simple. Like, you know, that was a game that we came in prepared to play hard and fight and win. And we did that. So it wasn't that much a surprise when we ended up doing that. There's some people on this team that all they know is beating Ohio State. Like, they beat them. We went 1-0 against them last year. Now we 2-0. So, like, it's just setting the trend, setting the standard. And so when it comes to a big emotional win, it's a big emotional win, but it's something that we prepared to do, expected to do, and had faith we was going to do. So it ain't that much a surprise we in this position.
Mozzie, appreciate it. Best of luck as you guys prepare for Purdue and another trip to Indianapolis.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Inside Michigan Football. If you missed any of tonight's show, check out the replay on MGoBlue Podcasts. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.